All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. We've got a full house today. We've got Lonnie, we've got Ken, we've got Marcus Almighty, Mark, and we've got Daniel Wheeze. Before we get into today's topic, it's just going to be this week in Ace World, The Girl Can't Dance was the demo of the week. So check that out if you're interested in going back in time for Ace's demo history. Got a few more of those queued up. Just written a few, finished writing a few more to record this weekend as well. So those will at least go through the end of February, hopefully. Mail call this week. I know I got something in. Elaine, thank you for helping me out getting the new Young Guitar issue. Great tribute to Ace Frehley in there. Obviously, I have to run it through the Google Translator, but very, very cool stuff. Oh, and it's also got color pictures, so you know, something nice to look at for the Gaijin. So very cool. Anyone else got any mail this week with any Kiss stuff? Mark, what did you
get? Very rarely do I get Kiss stuff, but I went to the store and first I got, this is not Kiss thing, but I'm just going to show really quickly. I got the David Bowie, latest recap of his career. But I found this, and I was very excited because it seems like it's very brand new, at least to me. Tribute to Ace Frehley in this from Life magazine. Some really nice pictures in this, too. I mean, I'm not a big collector of photographs or nothing, so I don't know if these are any of these are, like, you know, never before seen or anything like that. But there's some really nice things in here.
Still nice, nice to see in the store and nice to have, right?
Exactly, and it goes through like all the albums and stuff like that. So I recommend getting it because it's even if you know everything about Kiss, like we, you know, most of us claim to know, there's a lot of great photographs and little tidbits that maybe you don't know about. So that was a nice pickup, I thought.
For the first time in a very long time, I've given my money to Kiss Online. I needed a T-shirt for these the summer festivals. I started off ordering tickets to three festivals in Sweden, and then I thought, what am I supposed to wear? Well, you know, my Kiss FAQ shirt is all worn out, so I can't use that one, unfortunately. So I ordered the Animalize T-shirt, you know, with the blue sleeves.
The jersey. Great.
And on the, the jersey, baseball jersey, we call it over here. But I'm not sure if that's the correct term over there. Yeah, a baseball shirt, yeah. So, and on the back it says, if it's too loud, you're too old or something like that. I love that one. So that's I'll show that.
I'm
next
very
week,
pleased maybe that Daniel has joined the T-shirt.
It's all your fault, Bark.
And make sure that you stick to my laundry tips to make sure it lasts a long time, friend.
You need to do an episode on that. Mark's laundry tips. 5 minutes of Mark's laundry tips. Yes, you should. Extra material, bonus material.
So, Kiss Vids, you're here barely. Well, we're glad that you're here. So, speedy recovery to you for whatever ailed you that required that. Also, a shout out to someone who isn't with us today, one of our viewers and listeners from Iran, CMAC, just giving you a shout out and hope that's all safe and sound in your world with what's going on in the world at the moment. Your absence is duly noted. So, hopefully, we will see you again. And we look forward to that. Today's topic is going back in time. It's the 25th anniversary of January 2001. And oh boy, did the wheels fall off the bus at the end of that month 25 years ago. But it's an interesting thing to look back a quarter century at our fandom and where we were at in 2001. It was a very, very different time online before September the 11th. It was a very different time in the world as well in 2001, for that matter. So take us back 25 years, Daniel. Where were you as a fan? You know, what was your head state?
Well, for me, Kiss was kind of winding down after initially being a bit underwhelmed by the drumming on the reunion tour after, you know, looking forward to Eric Singer and Bruce Kulick era of Kiss. And then it felt like they were, you know, getting worse and worse for every tour. They didn't switch out any material. If they added something new, it was mostly a song from the current album, which I didn't like Psycho Circus. Well, of course, the lead-off singer was really good, but you know, getting through... What was the other one they played off of that? It was...
Within.
Oh, terrible. Into the... Oh, no. Yeah. Well, and it was more of the same, nothing new happening, so I was all about... I was almost done with the band, but then something happened there in 2001 that kind of, you know, sparked my interest a little bit, and that was the news that Eric Singer rejoined the band. I guess most people were thought it was a terrible thing, but for me it was, maybe they can get their chops back, and they sure did. If you listen to those shows from, was it Australia or Japan, where
Japan,
he played?
Japan.
Wow, that lineup. It was such a shame that they didn't get more tours with that lineup. I love that lineup, but it was just a brief moment in history.
Yeah, that happens at the end of the month. We're going to go through the news sites from three of the big sites of the time. The Kiss FAQ wasn't doing news. I actually looked and there's a big gap, so I'd given up on that crap for a while. I think while I was part of Kiss Online, there was no point for me to do a separate news section when Kiss On, the FAQ was completely really integrated into Kiss Online from 1998 to, I don't know when I pulled out, but... for that period, I've got no news site, so we'll be going through Kiss News Archive. That's the German fan site, which was absolutely fantastic. Still, to this day, they also had a good message board. Kiss Asylum, obviously the big independent fan site back in the day. And Kiss Online. Mark, go back to 2001, January. Where were you at post-farewell?
I was still all in because when the reunion tour happened, I was pretty excited about it. I mean, I hadn't seen, you know, the early days. I was way too young, but my older sister, Jane, she experienced all that. And she was, you know, hyping me up with stories of back in the day of how their shows were. So I was excited to go see it. So when it happened, I was excited, but much like Daniel, you know, I got to see other tours, like, you know, the Lost Cities tour. And slowly the shine started diminishing on the band in general. You know, it wasn't as tight as it was. It wasn't as good as it was. And especially on the farewell tour stuff, it was like, ugh. But much like Daniel too, this is interesting. As soon as they announced Eric Singer, and I remember when I saw it online, because his hair looked really odd at first from that picture when they showed it. I was like, oh, wow, like what happened to his hair? And he in that makeup and stuff, I suddenly felt excited because much like Daniel, I love Eric Singer. I think that his drumming adds so much to Kiss. And it was such a fantastic moment for me, at least, that I was re-excited again about the band. Unfortunately, they never came through, I don't think, with that lineup. I think it was just Japan and Australia, wasn't it, with Eric Singer and Ace and those guys. But it was so good that, you know, if you look back in history, the first live, you know, off the soundboard was Tokyo with Eric Singer and them. So obviously they even felt that it was a very important moment in time and a very, very great show. And I bought that live off the soundboard immediately when it came out, and I was totally in. I mean, my fandom hadn't wavered at that point.
Lonnie, how old are you, 13 in 2001?
I was 21. In 21.
Okay.
And I was, I remember distinctly, I was working overnights. I was a police officer and I was working overnights. And I got home and it was out of habit. What I would do when I would get home is I'd flip on Kiss Online and kind of wind down before I'd, you know, sleep during the day. And I remember seeing it and just looking at it in disbelief, really. You know, I was shocked that this was happening. And, you know, I was still bought in on the whole farewell tour thing still at the time. And I really thought, you know, I really wish they would have went out with the four of them. And I just thought, well, this is going to be a bad footnote at the end of their career that they couldn't close it out together. I really did.
Truth.
Right? I really thought that was just that they got me. I bought into the whole farewell tour thing. I thought this was it. and I just thought, wow, it's crazy. It's too bad that they're not going to close it out the right way. You know, there were some things that happened during that summer 2000, like with, you know, like Ace was in Houston and he had an incident with like a gun down there. Metal Edge put out a this is how goofy I was back in the day, is that Metal Edge put out like this magazine, you know, toward the end of the U.S. run, the farewell tour, and they all had like their handwritten notes in there, kind of like Alive, but Ace didn't have one in there. It was just Gene, Paul, and Peter. Ace didn't do one, and in my mind, I'm like, oh, Ace is the weakest link. If someone's gonna fall off here, it's gonna be Ace. And the fact that you know, all of a sudden we have, you know, Eric replacing Peter, I was really just shocked by the whole thing.
Crushed,
and a little bit crushed too. I was just in disbelief at it for the first few days. It was a very strange time.
But Lana, you being a Revenge era guy, didn't you feel any, you know, positivity when your drummer from the Revenge record showed up once again?
Sure. You know, it was also the likely and the most fitting replacement. Well, if Peter is not going to be a part of this, I'm really happy that it's Eric, because I had a lot of respect for Eric, and his drumming and how the band sounded 92 through 95. So, after I got over the disbelief, I was very curious of how the band is going to sound. You know, will they use the double bass drum? You know, how are they going to piece this together?
Navigate, you know?
Right. So I'm sure we'll get into those shows, but it was a very strange time.
Yeah, just because you have a double bass up on stage doesn't mean you're using both of them. Ask Jamie Oldacre. Or, well, you can, but... All right, Ken, go back to 2001, post-farewell.
Yeah. I think I saw them like three times on the farewell tour. But when that happened, when they announced, I was kind of... thought, oh, okay, they're going to replace Eric Peter with Eric. And I thought, okay, oh, they're going to give him, you know, some new makeup, a new makeup design. when did we learn that the makeup was going to be, is when they actually played the concert? Or do you remember, Julian? Didn't know he was going to wear Peter's makeup?
I think it came with the announcement.
Yeah, with the release. Yeah, the press release.
Uh-huh. Was it actually right then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of, when I saw that, I know that, I thought, oh, no, they shouldn't do that. You know, I wasn't like going to say, oh, that's it for Kiss and me or whatever, but I just thought, you know, they've used the other makeups before, Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent. You know, I thought, oh, goodness, create a new character. Why not? I think it'd be fun. You know, he should have his own identity, not someone else's identity, which Peter Criss, that's his identity, really. Even though it's a cat or whatever, it's his. He owns that. He doesn't own it anymore, but he created it. So, I think they should have allowed Eric to create his own and do something like that. So that kind of bothered me. And with the farewell tour, I said, well, that's a weird way to go out with the farewell tour, you know, doing that. That's kind of crazy. Kind of like what Lonnie was saying, you know, it's just a weird way to end it. But surely enough, and hold on. I said, what did I say? Surely
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Okay, anyway, so they ended up continuing, so I don't know, it bothered me, it kind of always bothered me a little bit, but I, again,
I'm happy for Eric. He
deserves. Is that your audio going to hell?
Yeah,
I thought it was mine.
His video crapped. Ooh. His audio crapped out there.
Did mine crap?
No, there you go.
You're back.
So going back to...
Oh, well. Go ahead.
You done? Or do you have more to rant about, Ken?
I'm done.
All right, we'll loop back as we get towards the end of the month. But going back to 2001, I was a little bit checked out at that point. You know, obviously, the FAQ was part of Kiss Online. So I was not independent at that point. I had to send all my stuff to Mike to upload in zip files to the website, so I didn't have any direct access to the host sites to do any of that stuff myself. So I was still kind of interested in what was going to happen. Obviously, I think January's all going to revolve around, you know, Eric and Peter. You know, we're going to scroll through everything else that happened before the end of the month with that, but that's going to take the primary focus in this. We kind of knew that the reunion period was for 5 years. I don't think I'd seen the contracts to that point, so I didn't know that January the 5th was actually the end of Peter's contract, and Ace's for that matter, with KISS. We didn't know the machinations that were required in the background. The tour of Australia and Japan had been announced in, I think, November of 2000, maybe a little bit earlier. There may have been a November tour announced for Japan, which got postponed. Again, going back, it all gets a bit hazy, and I haven't done any research for this. But still, you know, now knowing that and not conflating what we think we know now with what we knew then is very difficult. So I was, and someone already said it, you know, still waiting for Alive 4. Yeah, I'm was one of those people who was still waiting for Alive 4 to come out. We'd seen the Last Kiss pay-per-view and all that, so I was kind of hopeful that, okay, great, you know, there's a good chance that it's going to happen, but it kept getting kicked down the road. You know, obviously for the Eric Singer situation, I was curious what it was going to do to the band. I hadn't been happy when they left the group in 96, and because that was kind of like the end of Kiss as a, you know, a legitimate musical act rather than a nostalgia machine. So I was curious what he was going to do to the lineup. I don't remember much other than once the makeup issue came out, and we'll talk about that more once we get to that point in the month, not being comfortable with the makeup, but also accepting it. It wasn't the first time that someone else had donned the Catman makeup, unfortunately. Eddie Cannon had played that one show, Needs Must, in 1997, Columbus, Georgia. So that line had already been crossed, and there was no going back from that line once they had decided that they would do a show without Peter, or if it happened to be Ace or Gene, who knows? Ace, I'm sure they would have thrown Tommy in a heartbeat as well, for that matter. So they always had those options available to them, as we continuously hear. And if Gene were to say that on a podcast, I would not berate him for that, because I think that's taken as fact. But let's look into the month itself and what leads up to it. What was going on in the KISS community? Let's start with the Germans first. You know, the European perspective on kissnews.deutschland. So
Deutschland.
Yeah, and just jump in on any of these that catch your fancy, and we'll see if we can figure out what the heck they are.
Kiss camera. Look at that.
Ooh, Kiss camera.
New product.
Yeah,
but that's one thing. One thing I did notice through going through all this, that there was a lot of guitar tablature stuff coming out at this time. Mm-hmm. I noticed they did like whole albums were being commented about, Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun, full tablature coming out for stuff like that. So they were really sort of, getting under the guitar player there a bit, you know, like re-exciting them with full tablatures of a whole album. So that, I thought that was really interesting that they took that time to really start dropping a whole bunch of these different things out there. I don't know, for you non-guitar players, that was probably not of any interest. For me, I saw that
as well, and one of the guys who often is represented in this magazine, the Destroyer Kiss magazine, you know, the fanzine, I recognize his name there, and he had made tablature for, you know, like 5, 6, 7 albums, and
he
got a lot of, you know, thanks from the Kiss fan sites online.
Yeah, so, and those,
it's kind of cool to go back and rediscover, oh, this person, I didn't know who he was back then, but now I know who he is. I think it's kind of a fun thing to do.
Exactly. Who was
that?
So,
Emil Ertenmark.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So those tabs are really handy. And before I forget, Mr. Where's Drago? I sent you a message on Facebook Messenger if you want to check that out later. Anyways, so, but yeah, that's that was one of those things that
Mark, are you doing your own show here?
Side deals. Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's continue looking through January 2001 from the European perspective. So, the Kiss memory game. Oh, that would be useful today.
In your brain.
With a Kiss memory game.
Well, come on. If you think about current affairs and news, how about a Kiss-branded cognitive ability test? This is a demon. This is a...
Oh,
we see that every week. We do that every week.
All right, so I don't care about pictures of the week. Kiss Japan tour. So it still wasn't fully confirmed, apparently, in January 2001. So I think what I was thinking about the tour being postponed from November is partially accurate. Hopefully Daniel can check the damn book and tell me.
According to Mr. Julian Gill, it was postponed from November 13th.
There we go. Yeah, November 13th
to March 2001.
Yeah. All right, there we go. So tour, ringtones. Remember when you buy ringtones?
Yeah, ringtones.
Oh, yeah.
That's the pinball game.
And here we go. A day later, they get the confirmation for the Japanese tour. Lots of Kiss in the press still here. The Psycho Circus Dream. I think that's a typo. Pinball game.
Kiss I have that penis. Pinball game, but it's crap anyway.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing about Australia so far, or are people?
No,
already,
Australia was already known in November and December, so I wouldn't think we'll see much on that. But we'll see.
I think that was later, Drago.
Yeah, that was 95 for the phone charity, but there was another one later where they did do fundraising. Eric Singer news.
Oh.
Yeah, so the Cult Box set, he played on demos for Sonic Temple prior to Sonic Temple.
Yes, that's true, yeah. That's right.
And it's actually got some really good stuff on it. If you're a fan of the Cult, there is a lot on that album that actually echoed Love more than electric or Peace in that sense. So it was some very cool stuff that he was featured on for that. So more on the Japan stuff, but we don't care about tickets going on sale. God, Richie Scarlett. So he's nearly finished his new album. This album turned out to be Insanity of Life or something. And Ace played on two songs on it, Johnny's in Love and Too Far Gone, which was a revamp of one of the old Ace Frehley band demos from 95. So that was actually very cool because it had Anton Figg on it. I was trying to find my copy of the CD this morning. I can only find Wise Guy. So it was very cool. And look, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that interesting, eh? Early on, they already were petitioning.
Should have been in on the first, but whatever.
Well, they'd already had their first rejection in 99 on the 25th anniversary. They were nominated, but they did not make it. So Doc had obviously not paid Jan Wenner, or whatever the wanker's name was.
Wenner.
Enough.
Wiener.
Enough. Wenner.
Yeah, wannabe.
Wiener.
All right. Nico and Strike.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Strike magazine.
You know, as good as that Swedish fanzine is, there's something special when we sit back and hold these old fanzines from the past. To hold a copy of Kiss Collector or Strike, and I know there were others in other countries, but they were starting to disappear slowly by the early 2000s because of the internet had kind of killed them. So, yeah. Great Strike. I mean, I love Strike.
What a cover.
Yep.
Yeah,
man.
Very nice. Can you believe that Gene went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I mean, did anybody watch that episode? I don't remember how he did when he was on that, but
I used to
love that show. I used to watch it all the time when it was on, but I don't remember seeing the celebrity one with Gene.
He probably did as well as he did when it was, Are You As Smart As a Sixth Grader or whatever that other one was.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right.
And what's that Trump show with You're Fired? What was that show that he was on there?
The Apprentice.
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was on a lot of shows.
And I wish I didn't. Let's see. I got to get rid of the banner for a second.
Damn, banner. A Kiss FAQ thing. Jeez, get out.
Last show at the Garden. It's no secret that Kiss would like to end their farewell tour with a series of dates at New York's Madison Square Garden. Wow, did they foreshadow that happening?
Took a while for that to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the middle of January for this site. So Ace did renew his contract. But it looks like from that news bite that he had only extended his contract long enough to do the rescheduled Japan tour, whereas Peter did not renegotiate his contract. So at this point is that last line. Peter is expected to be signed again any day now. So at least from that sort of news coming in, it seems to be, you know, pointing in a contractual. So again, we're discovering all this news live in 2001 when it first came out.
So question for you, Julian. So Peter didn't re-sign his contract then, but when he came back in 2003 and did the symphony and then that world domination tour, was that like a bi-yearly contract, or how did that work out? Like,
don't know. I've not seen any of the reunion contracts, sadly. But if I was to hazard a guess, they did renegotiations, would have been part of a new contract, because obviously they knew in 2000 how successful the reunion had been versus 1996 when they originally signed their souls away for 5 years.
Yeah.
And there was also a lot of roads on the odometer by that point as well. So who knows, frictions come into it as well when the farewell tour had grossed, $63 million in 2000, and the reunion tour had been the number one tour of 1996. So
by the year,
I would guess that I have looked at financials since, but if I'm going strictly by what I knew in 2001, I didn't know shit about this. But I do know that Gap Limited 1996, which was the entity that Peter and Ace signed their contracts with in 1996, became Gap Limited 98 and then 2000. And then 2002. So there were new business entities for Gap Limited throughout the years. I don't know if there's one specifically for 2003 when he resigned, but obviously he had a contract. And, you know, in 2004 kind of illustrates that it was only for a year because he was gone.
Yeah. When you talk about the reunion and the farewell tour and the differences, I'm just looking in this great book here from some guy, Kiss on Tour. And this one says, you know, one of the last shows in America, they played Chicago, Illinois. It was a 30,000-seater. They managed to put 6,700 people in the seats.
Yikes.
I mean, that says something.
Yeah, the reunion itself in 1996 as a tour, if you look at the charts, it was great for a bit, but then it was the Lost Cities tour wasn't just to do those markets that they had missed. It was that those were the targets that they could sell.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, no. When I saw them in St. Louis in April of 97, and it was not full. I mean, it was pretty full. But there were empty seats up top, which shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah, I watched them in Stockholm in the summer of 97. 35,000 the first night, 35,000 the second night.
Yeah, well, Sweden's always been like that.
Special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I saw them on the Lost Cities tour, that was here in Hamilton, and they played a venue that was a bit smaller. It was like maybe like 13,000 or so. And like much like Lonnie's experience with his show, and it was pretty full, but the 500 levels, the upper one, they were pretty empty. So
yeah, so I think there was a comment that I just had up that Ken destroyed. Didn't Peter know it wasn't going to continue in October 2000 already? Yeah, he started wearing that teardrop at the end. Mm-hmm. I think he said in his book that that was a sign of protest, that they were trying to renegotiate, you know, the contracts, knowing that they were going to likely postpone that tour and they needed to keep going to 2001. He's out of contract. He doesn't have to play nice, so he trashes his drum kit at the end. It's kind of like a statement. And who knows? Let's move on for see what's going on. Kissing Jordan.
That's interesting, yeah.
Okay, new song lyrics. Okay. I don't care about Bernard's kiss tattoo page. Gina's hungry and you got to feed him cookies. Oh, my God.
I've never seen that.
Chocolate chip cookies, yes.
I do remember there was like a I don't remember the format of video, but there was a bitch slap a rock star, and you just sat there slapping rock stars. And they
need to bring that back.
Yeah, well, I think I still have it cached somewhere. But they had James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich post Napster.
Oh.
You could just slap them.
Gene,
you could just slap him. As well, so
we could have used that for
it's so fun to time travel and see these early online games that are truly terrible. What about that one? Don't hang the demon. That's a pretty
don't hang the demon,
like Hangman, right?
I think it is, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You have to guess the word. If you miss five times, you do that with gets Alf hanged. Oh no,
wow.
So right at the top here.
Memory lane here, holy smokes.
Yeah, we've had Strike mentioned, and now up at the top is Kiss Collector and Youp. What a great fanzine that was as well. Loved the format of it. Sweet Pain, cover band. So Kiss in Yokohama. Mm-hmm. Second show added. Well, that was a smaller venue like most Japanese ones. Where's the banner?
But Julian, how much do you know about this Udo guy in Japan? He's always mentioned.
The promoter guy, yeah.
Who is that promoter? And he must have a lot of power over there.
He's the number one guy in Japan.
Yeah, he was the Japanese promoter from the 60s.
For decades.
Yeah.
For decades. Udo Artist was
it's like the Don King of Japan.
There's a great story. There's a great story about Udo when Motley Crue went on tour and Tommy Lee got into this really drunken rage on the train with there that they were on, the bullet train, that Mr. Udo literally came up to him and said, "Sit down." And he sat down and he did this thing with his fingers by his neck. And literally, like, put him to sleep, like, totally calmed him down. It was like unbelievable, like this story. It's in the dirt book, you know. Unbelievable. This Udo guy, not only is he a promoter, but the man can take a drunken guy and calm him down in like 3 seconds. That's power.
Yeah. Udo Sama, yes. Lord. Yeah, not just a san, Sama. All right, so moving on. Kiss to Europa petition closed. No idea what that is. More tattoos. I don't care. Only Lonnie cares about tattoos.
I have a tattoo.
Kiss Expos. That's another thing that a blast from the past. So Phil Elliott's Kiss Expos, at least before he got sued, were legendary. Again, I don't think there's... I only went to Indy to early ones there to... 99 and 2000 or 98 and 99. I don't remember which. But again, those are gone. Which, again, I think they're... Well, what do you think? Expos. Is there a reason to have expos anymore in this day and age?
Of course. I think if just for the point that Daniel brings up a lot and that you brought up, Julian, is the interaction between just fans, like with each other, you know, the meetup, getting to meet some friends that you haven't seen in a long time from other states or other countries or whatever the case may be. Usually those were the primary reasons. And depending on what other things you were doing at the time, whether it was collecting, you know, bootleg concerts or looking for, you know, hard to find albums or collectibles, that would be almost like a secondary reason to go to these things. But I loved going to them. And also sometimes to check out some of these tribute acts. Some of them were really good. Some of them were really bad. But it was always fun to check out some of these cover bands that were, or tribute bands, sorry, that were doing Kiss material in full makeup and sometimes try to redo the whole concert experience at some of these ones. So I do kind of miss it, you know. They were fun to go to.
Lonnie, expos, yeah, or fan fests?
I used to do the Indie Expo like every year, like religiously, because it's 4 hours away. It's an easy drive. You know, I used to do it every year, and I loved it because I'd go there and I'd pick up merch that, you know, maybe I missed out on originally or some vintage stuff I've been trying to get. And the expo was great, but I also just liked the you know, just the sitting in the hotel bar after the expo and just chatting with Kiss fans and you know, just building camaraderie, you know, with people that you maybe have met online or people you had seen last year at the expo and that. But, you know, I unfortunately, and then COVID just really put a stop to them. Mm. You know, and they were still doing indie every year up until COVID, and I think COVID just put a stop to it, and unfortunately it never came back. And I don't know, in today's trading circles online, you know, between, you know, Facebook Marketplace and eBay and these auctions every night that you see, you know, I don't know if you need to bring it back, unfortunately. And I don't know how successful it would be, unfortunately, if you did bring it back anymore.
They became less of an expo than a fan fest. The Indie Expo, the last one I went to, was just people lined up for hours and hours and hours to get those silly little autographs or photographs from the artist. And that's not an expo.
And that's why I stopped going to them. I wasn't at that one in Indie, Julian, that you went to, because I'd stopped going at that point because it's just standing in line all day is what it turned into. I was like, I don't need to drive 4 hours to stand in line all day.
Yeah, I gave my photograph tickets away, and I only did the one with Tommy. Daniel, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting to watch what's happening in Sweden. They've had like two or three concerts playing the Elder album, and then they have had some dealers, you know, there as well. So I think there's a market for this, at least over here in Europe, where you can, you know, make a performance, do a performance by a band that play Kiss tunes, and add some, you know, stuff that people can sell. So I think it will come back more and more, at least over here. I'm not sure about America, if there's a problem with, you know, if it's very expensive to get a place where you can sell the stuff. Over here it works in different ways, and it's no problem getting a place. And there are a lot of fans, you know, the Kiss Army is alive and well over here in Sweden. So I think it will continue over here, and it will develop. How do you say it? It will evolve even more. Yeah. So I think it will get bigger and bigger for a few years to come here. And I hope something happens in America, because it should. I mean, there must be still enough members of the Kiss Army alive in America to do something like the Indie Expo, maybe on a smaller scale, but it should happen.
I wouldn't even risk doing what Alex does. Alex Bergdahl, who told us, does his lectures.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Try doing that here. I would love to. I do all mine online instead, my pontifications, but to do that sort of thing with a presentation, that would be a fucking disaster here.
But Julia, maybe you can come over here and be the opening act for Alex Bergdahl.
That'll be the act.
It'll be a very short opening act with the amount of Swedish that I know.
You can speak in English, so everyone knows English over here.
I know, and that's such a massive difference as well. I mean, the last thing I went to was a monster thingy in 2022. And I have no desire to go to an expo again. The fan fests are kind of cool, but expos, my last expo was so horrendous that I would never do it again. Let's get back to the news here from 2001. Clown White, fantastic British fanzine. They took the design up to a next level from my perspective. Any of you guys remember Clown White?
Yep.
Yeah, it was really good. I have a bunch of those still.
Yeah.
Really good.
It was good.
All right. Will KISS extend their farewell tour? Farewell. What? Yeah, by 25 years, guys, or 23.
Yeah.
What strikes me is the amount of KISS news. I mean, it's like almost every day.
Yeah, look at this. I mean, Gene on TV, turn on Ben's or turn
Ben's. How do they find out this stuff? That's the thing.
Yeah.
At the time.
KISS members on NAMM. Yeah.
There were discussion forums back then. There was KISS Online and the forums. There was other sites.
True.
And most of these websites had a bunch of very dedicated fans who would send in their news, you know, and share it. It wasn't all looking to monetize information back then. There was much more sharing. So NAMM, it's that time of year as well for NAMM here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love NAMM.
KISS Forever Band tributes.
Yeah.
A new fan page. A Swiss fan page. Oh, God, I remember Vladimir. A new unofficial CD
in Russia.
They're adding more shows for Australia. That was, you know, every concert of that tour was a sellout. I think it was incredible.
KISS court case.
Yeah. You know what that was about? Oh, that was the fan who was injured at a KISS show. I'm reading the actual news. There've been quite a few actually of fans suing KISS over the years.
There I'm sure.
who sued them over the KISS cruise and got a settlement as well. So even in recent years. All right. A KISS in Australian TV. So blah, blah, blah. Opinion poll. We have a podcast. We don't need no stinking opinion polls.
Yeah.
New England KISS Expo.
We get to the end. Here we go.
Here it is.
Of the month.
Peter Criss.
So, yes. Yeah. Peter Criss. Yeah. And that was, I was shocked. But yet I wasn't, because of the Eddie Cannon thing. I want to just take a quick break to play some multimedia. And this is from the 2002 New York Expo in, I think, Hackensack. And Eric Singer talks about how this all came together.
Back, you know, KISS called you. Hey, we need you. You're coming back. But, you know, they still wear the costumes and makeup. Can you go into how you felt, you know, about putting on that whole makeup and being a cat?
That's a good question, because a lot of people always want to know that. You know, the reality is simple as this. You know, Gene and Paul called up and said, hey, you know, are you interested in, well, actually, they're a lawyer. Let's be real. A lawyer called my lawyer and said, Gene and Paul want to talk about you playing with KISS again. That's how it went down. And so they talked. And then we discussed, you know, what's going to happen within the makeup situation. Am I going to have my own design, or are they going to come up with something new? And at first, they were hemming and hawing. There was not a definitive decision. But once they knew that they were going to make the move and I was going to play drums, everything was already being sent. Merchandise was already made for Australia and Japan. So they weren't going to go and make new stuff. So they knew at least for that, that's what they were going to have to do. And, you know, that's the choice that they decided to make. I personally, in a perfect world, I would rather have my own design. I agree with those people that don't like it. I'm right there with it. But that's the way it is. So, you know, it's like sometimes you have to make tough choices in life, and, you know, you have to live or die by them. And that's the way it is.
You said there was a period of consideration. Did it ever come close to you being a new character, like, you know, the elephant?
Well, this was all talk. Mind you, this was all, the elephant man, right?
I
wish.
That way.
I wish.
Edit that out.
No, that's right. We got kids here. No, seriously, it was discussed, but really seriously only over a period of a couple of days, because this went down, like, really fast. I mean, I literally was in Japan at a KISS Expo. And the day before I left, my lawyer called me and said, hey, Eric, I got a call from KISS's lawyer inquiring about you working with them again. And I said, well, I don't believe it's true. But they're, you know, because I kept hearing all these rumors for years. You know, the whole time they've been doing a reunion tour or a farewell tour, whatever, I'd been hearing rumors, and of course I always just discounted them. Well, right, I went to Japan, did the expo, and I was getting ready to go to Thailand for a couple days vacation. I happened to check my answer machine. My lawyer left a message and said, you need to call me right away. This is going down. So I called him, and he said, I just got off the phone with Doc McGee. This is going down. I said, well, I'm not coming home right now because I'm going on vacation. So I just went on the vacation because I still didn't believe that maybe, you know, if it was real or really true or not. He said, just go on vacation. By the time you get home, everything will be sorted out. And when it was, when I got home that Saturday, it was, I called Ace, called Gene, called Paul. They all said, hey, we're going to do this. And Gene said, we told the promoters in Japan and Australia, they're going to make an announcement that you're going to play drums. You know, they had posters advertising in Australia. They took those down, you know, so they weren't trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes like some people seem to think. They weren't trying to lie to anybody or pass it off. When they introduced me on stage, they didn't say Peter Criss on drums. They said Eric Singer on drums, okay? So, you know, I know a lot of people try to think they were trying to pass something off. They weren't.
All right. So, huh,
interesting.
Contemporaneous interesting. Explanation of how it went down. I thought that would be useful. Thank you to the person who filmed the video to give us the opportunity to be able to talk about that. So that's Eric's recollection of how everything happened. So by the sounds of it, you know, even after that contract lapsed January the 5th, Peter wasn't still totally out of the picture by the sounds of it. So it's only towards the end of the month that lawyers start talking to lawyers, you know, hey buddy, you like to go to Japan with us? And if you can track down that whole interview with Eric from that, that expo, Eric's a straight shooter. And yeah, especially back then, a bit of a wild card. He'll just tell you his opinion on it. And it doesn't have the spin of say Gene or Paul, who were so practiced and so needed as the business owners to put a lot of spin on stuff because of the optics and what they communicate. That Eric, you know, they're at a fan expo. Ilani, what do you take from that?
It's really interesting that I had heard the thing about the merchant. I had heard he mentioned like, well, the merchandise was already printed with, and I have a shirt that says, Farewell Tour has the Japanese dates on the back. And has Kiss standing on a Japanese flag, and it's Peter Criss. It's legit Peter Criss. I remember hearing that the merchandise had already been printed with the Catman makeup on that, and they weren't going. That was a part of it at the time of why they didn't give Eric his own makeup because the merchandise had been printed. And I remember being at a Kiss tribute show here in St. Louis, and we were just waiting for the band to come on. And I was telling that to another Kiss fan standing next to me, you know, and he just totally discounted that. I'm like, oh, that's bullshit. Why would, you know? And I'm like, Kiss isn't going to lose money though, either. You know, I think that was a bigger part of it than what people think. And they didn't know at the time, like they really didn't know like what the future held after these Japan and Australia dates. And I think that, okay, we're just going to go with this for right now. And we can't predict the future. But this is what it's going to be, like it or not.
I think honestly, Lonnie's 100% correct in that, because if you look back at some of the earlier stories with Kiss, their contract with their merchandiser for the shirts and stuff like that kept them afloat during some of those lean years. You know, they were getting some decent money that kept them afloat, so they didn't want to probably screw around with any of that stuff. They already had everything printed up, done, you know. And that, like Lonnie said, I think that had a lot to do with the fact that, okay, you're going out in that makeup because we're not going to do another run of t-shirts all over again now with a different design or a different whatever. So I think that holds a lot of water, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys on that, especially, you know, money wise. Yeah, don't want to redo the tour books and all that. I mean, that's just crazy. So what's funny is on this, them having or doing Eric first as a replacement and using the cat makeup, it's kind of, in a way, to me, like a trial run. I don't think they would have gotten away with it if Ace was replaced and his makeup was used first. I think that would have went down a little bit differently. That's I think it would have been a lot more backlash than you know the Peter makeup. But
there was plenty of backlash, though.
Oh, there's plenty, but I think there would have been more with Ace.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think, you know, so, but, you know, having Eric and he had the makeup and it, and in the end, it kind of, you know, it worked. They felt that, okay, I guess we can do Ace. It'll be less of a shock to the fans because they know that it's already been done with Peter.
Daniel, any thoughts on all that?
Yeah, but well, personally, for me, the original drummer almost was Eric Carr, you know, starting off in the mid-80s. So I didn't have the connection to Peter Criss like Ken has. So for me, I was just happy that they replaced Peter Criss with Eric Singer because technically Eric Singer is a much better drummer and could play more songs. Because for me, Kiss was kind of, you know, stuck because they were limited by the Peter Criss and Ace Frehley. They couldn't play a lot of songs, at least Peter Criss. So I was looking forward to hearing more songs. And the fans in Australia didn't care. Just going through the numbers here, they played a few shows there in Australia. 16,000 the first show, the second sold out, the third sold out, the fourth sold out, the fifth sold, and it goes on and on. They're playing for well over 10,000 people on every show on that Australian tour. And that must have made Gene and Paul think, well, maybe we don't need the other guys. We can replace them, pay less of a salary to them, and earn even more money. I think it was the wheels started, you know, going for Gene and Paul, and they started thinking, maybe we can do this, the two of us, and have some replacements, guys. But I remember when they replaced Ace Frehley, that was a hard time for me. I don't know what, but I could really, because Tommy Thayer had no history. Well, he had a history with Kiss, but he had never been in the band. Eric Singer felt like, you know, well, he's been in the band, no problem. But who's this guy? Black and blue guitarist. Yeah. I had a real hard time for a few years, but after some time, you know, I mean, it's better to have a Kiss than no Kiss. And Ace wasn't into it no more. So after a few years, I kind of accepted it. And that was always my thinking, you know. But I'd rather have a Kiss with Tommy Thayer than no Kiss. And the final 5 years of Kiss's live career, I kind of embraced it and enjoyed it.
Yeah, so your replacement was either in Kiss, Black Sabbath, and Alice Cooper, or Black and Blue and Harlow. it's a very different sort of quality, though. You know, both were professional musicians. And, again, I wasn't thrilled. I put up that picture, you know, from they had time enough to do an insert for the Japanese tour, and I think for the Australian tour, but someone correct me if I'm wrong, for the Aussies. But the Australian fan base was rabid. I don't think they would have been skewed by the optics of what was already sold and had been on sale for 2 months with Peter still part of the lineup. I don't think they would have been that delusional or foolish, at least I hope not, to think that, oh, all of these are still sold out, you know, they're sold out shows. So I don't think that comes into play. I think that comes into more that now they're looking at, well, we've got Eric Singer back. Eric is a completely different drummer type to Peter Criss. And they gave him freedom initially to be Eric Singer wearing Catman makeup, not to imitate Peter Criss wearing the Catman makeup. And that's two completely different paradigms. And the one where I have the most issues over the years, well, I'm glad I had an extra 25 years of fandom. What it represented was not honest to who Eric was as a musician, Well, maybe it was because he's a working musician and you do the job as required by the employers, whether you're allowed to be yourself or you're playing a style more in line with what is expected for the music. So that's a whole different episode. Let's go into the Kiss Asylum and we'll get by. Yeah, I was contributing all over the place back then. 10 questions with Bruce Kulick. We don't have anything to really go into on these. We'll see what pops up. Kiss in the top 10 ticket sales for 2000. Yeah. There you go. So Kiss got 63 million in grosses for the farewell tour.
That's good. That was
fantastic.
And that's America, I guess. In America or what?
Well, that's the only place that the farewell tour went in 2000 other than Canada.
Yeah, so it's America.
So
Metallica's way down there. 9.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look at who the big girl is. Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was good. Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band. Oh, my God.
That was really popular.
For a while.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Bruce Springsteen. So, I saw Bruce Springsteen on that tour as well. So, Kiss Freaks now offering Kiss auctions. Steve Stairwell Jr., ahead of the curve on what's become a big deal for the Kiss
auctions.
Community.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now all the auctions are a big thing. So all of this stuff was, there's the, some of the guitar tabs. Let's just kill that banner for a second. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Look at that.
Daniel. Emil.
Yeah. There he is. Emil Ortmark. He's a Swedish guy.
Yeah.
Features a knight, Asylum.
Very, very, very smart guy too. January the 5th. All right. So relive the farewell tour. Yeah. The farewell tour on Kiss Online was incredibly covered. All the photos that Mike Granvold would post after the show every day. Some video footage as well. He really did a great job as the webmaster in that role. And I loved the I was, doing the FAQ stuff, providing it to Kiss Online. I never worked for Kiss Online. I thought it was a great website and it had a lot of potential, but again, Kiss Asylum was doing it from the fan bases with their message board. And this all predates Kiss FAQ message board. So I was an active participant in all of this stuff. So, oh my God, this is really a blast.
That's a weird cover.
That was such a great tribute album, and I believe Kathy Labonte's long deceased now. But this was the third tribute that dated back to the original Kiss Army Online AOL tribute. Mm-hmm. That really, again, these albums to me were important. They did the Elder one, I think, for part two. Any of you have any of those tributes?
No, I don't recall ever seeing those.
I still have the magnet from the Spirit of 78. It's on my fridge, but I'm not going to get up as we're.
It should put him on Spotify.
Okay,
reissue them.
Probably out there somewhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, if Kathy's gone, then who are the rights owners? Kiss fan checks. I mean, I remember those as well, that you could have your checkbook with Kiss designs.
Oh, I had those. Come on now. I had those. I had the Kiss checkbook cover, the whole shoot and match. Oh, yeah.
The credit card? Yeah, the credit card.
Oh, sure. Oh, gosh, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You had a Kiss credit card?
Oh, gosh.
I still have my old Kiss credit card.
I still have it, yeah, somewhere.
Way. It doesn't work, of course. But,
All right, so there's... Okay. I was actually, my bank allowed me to upload images from my debit card. So I uploaded my 2003 meet and greet photo. I had that on my card for a few years until they took that away. All right. Kiss Collector, Ace Frehley, Eddie Trunk, Merry Christmas, Kissmas Spectaculars. And those really
That's a good interview.
Still doing it.
Yeah. But they were way, way more fun back in the days when members of Kiss would be on his Christmas specials. Right. Again, Phil Elliott and the Kiss. Phil, last time I saw him, he touched my ass. Moving on.
What? Hello.
Well.
Hello.
Need some more information.
Something he'll never forget.
Yeah, I'll never forget. All right. So moving on. So Court TV as well. So Gene was moguling. I mean, look at all these. Yeah, we've already kind of mentioned, you know, the number of media appearances, magazines, TV. Yeah. Kiss was everywhere. Clown White again, which we've talked about. New England Expo.
When was that Kiss casket released? Was that in?
That's like November of 2001. Like right around the time the PAX that was.
Yeah.
God, why do I know that?
That's pretty impressive.
I don't know.
Did you get one, Lonnie?
I do not. No, I didn't.
No,
no one did.
Got the urn.
I saw a few people have one. There was one at the pod convention. They brought one.
Andy has one. Andy Moen has one.
Wow.
It turned into a
Gene
cooler.
On, turned Ben Stein on. Kiss album Focus was still was still a thing back then for me. So. I tried to rewrite those. They're just so bad. Gone quickly.
Practice. That well, you had those books back. I bought one of those books back then.
But in terms of the editing,
I still have it.
And the copy edit, oh, horrendous.
Practice make perfect.
Yeah, my apology. They were only ever supposed to be for this website, and there's just ego that thought that maybe it looked good as a book. Rather than intending to be a book, but as free throwaway articles, so more on the expos, more on.
But what about one of these Atlanta expos? How many people were attending one of those expos in America? Was there like hundreds or a thousand?
Many hundreds.
Many hundreds. Okay.
They were big.
Yeah.
Especially the one that got raided by the I think the FBI. So.
Oh yeah,
Detroit.
Great footage about that.
So now we get into the end of the month here. Here we go. More of the Peter Chris. Peter Chris didn't really leave Chris or Kiss, but all right. Let's go into the last bunch of news, which will be Kiss Online, and here we go. These are more just headlines. All right. So
this episode was a great idea. What a walkthrough memory.
Yeah, it's so fun.
So Runaway being shown in Australia. If you want any further information on these, I'll dig into it. But some of these have some pretty dodgy links. So Merry Christmas card. Yeah, this was back when I still got cards from Kiss for Christmas. So Gene wants to be a millionaire. Paul interview. Pinball, Kiss Fest. That Kiss Fest 2001 was what Eric Singer was alluding to in that multimedia that we played. So that is all happening in the future at this point. But let me see if I can just pull that one up quickly. Where was that? Kiss Fest in Japan. So Japanese fans, 6 weeks farewell tour before it hit. So it was going to be on Saturday, January the 27th, the Kanagawa Prefecture Hall. Eric Singer is the special guest Q&A session with Eric and a performance by Kiss Japan, a tribute band, 3,800 yen or $34. And that was from Garrison, legendary Garrison. Who ran Kiss in Japan website? Whatever. All right, going back again, even Kiss Online back then. And this is just a great contrast versus what Kiss Online has become today. Now, again, I'm not criticizing what it has become today because it serves a purpose and necessity. But back in the old days, the days of yore, here you have expos, unofficial events, you have fanzines being supported. You have a lot of support outside of the official occasional news. Richie Scarlett album being mentioned on Kiss Online.
That's
Brazil. There's a lot of headlines in here. Paul Stanley special, Planet Rock concert special, Eric Singer back then, not backing Kiss yet, but they're covering his private work. And he was going out to Australia with Alice Cooper year. Yeah. Kisteria.
Hey, the Kiss Australian album. TV. The Kiss album Focus on the top there.
Is it?
At the top.
Thanks, Mike.
Look at that.
Whoa. Kiss tribute bands, you on sale it. Dates, Kiss Collector. I mean, look at this. This is, you know, all the positivity of what Kiss Online initially was out of the box. Certainly not an ISP, but I think Mike did a great job covering an awful lot of the international official and unofficial news. Now, of course, it gets into the realm of then tacitly approving it from a KISS perspective. So you can see why those pesky lawyers might have said you don't really want to do all this. And it also takes a lot of effort. Remember, he had a cubicle down in an office where he would do all this stuff. So again, I still think, and the FAQ keeps growing. Ooh, what was that? Is that about me?
Look at that.
Now I want to see how I was growing. Oh God, I'm glad I don't have this up on screen because this is a psycho that it's gone to. All right, going back. Happy birthday to Paul Stanley, always. Mm-hmm. Kiss Online goes mobile. Ooh.
Ooh.
More changes to the Kiss. Yeah, Brownwell was still very much involved in 2001. Oh, yeah.
What is that San Diego 95? What's that?
I'm going to find out. Let's see.
Isn't that like some kind of private gig that they did for Gibson or something like that?
In 95, yeah, a guy goes into a confessional and the priest is on the other side. No idea.
Okay, maybe it's some sort of convention and a marriage or something.
Yeah, it's pretty wild clicking on the links. You can get these on archive.org. I'll put the link in the chat if you want to look back at the month of January 2001 on Kiss Online. So, I mean, Eddie Trunk getting a mention on Kiss Online, that would not happen today.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's no chance.
Or maybe it would. And this is the interesting part, you know, as part of the wrap up to this episode, is just go straight to the end of the month. There is no notice about Eric Singer's return on Kiss Online at this stage, because, again, as the official site, they had to wait for the official statements to be vetted and ready to go. That news did not hit until February the 1st, officially, in the trade press and everything. So they're not covering anything up here by it not being covered, but being covered on the fan sites. We always had a different standard thing. Kiss Online did not have that. So the Kiss Fest 2001, I'm just going to click into that on the back end here.
Yeah.
And just see what they're talking about. Oh, so it's Garrison Spick's review of that. Yeah, very, very cool. Go and check those from the link. So what do you think about January 2001 overall, now that you've seen everything that was going on media-wise, in terms of features and fan-wise, Mark?
I mean, honestly, I remember when the end of the road happened and we were worried that there was going to be anything to talk about. Back then, when this happened, it seemed like there was a million things to talk about, and there was lots of news clips and people doing things and appearances and stuff like that. It's interesting that back then there was no fear of that, or nobody was vocal about any fear like that. I wonder why, when the end of the road happened, that there was such a concern about that. You know, it's almost there were the same situations happening, but the one was just so much stuff happening in January of 2001. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Daniel, are you surprised by how much was going on?
Yeah, actually I am. Because by this time, KISS has started to become the nostalgia act that they, you know, was for the final decades of their career. And for me, I kind of lost a lot of interest during this era. But as I mentioned previously, the Eric Singer comeback made me, you know, look at KISS again. But it wasn't until 2009 when they released Sonic Boom that I got really into the band once again, because I needed KISS to feel like a band, you know, doing music, new music. Yeah. So these were some, you know, I didn't like the years from 2000 to, you know, until they released Sonic Boom, that those were kind of lean years. So it's kind of surprising to see the amount of news. But I guess Bruce Kulick, I mean, everything he did made the news, and Eric Singer did a lot of stuff outside of KISS. So there was a lot of news, and people still, you know, arrange those conventions over in America. So it's really cool to go back and look at the amount of news. I mean, almost every day there's something new posted. It's it's perplexing.
No Vinnie Vincent news. Lonnie, your thoughts on 2001?
Thankfully.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. You know, I think, you know, at the time, I think, at least me personally, I was still waiting for the announcement of, like, when that final KISS show was going to be. You know, they had done that tour of America, and then they were going to do this tour in Japan and Australia. But, like, even Gene Simmons' book that came out in, I guess it was later 2001 or maybe it was 2002, whenever Gene's book came out, the first line in his book is when KISS plays its final show in Shea Stadium. That's the first line in his book. You know, I mean, thinking about that, I was kind of in that mindset too at the time. I was still waiting, like, okay, they've done this big tour, but they still have to do like a final concert, don't they? Because again, like I said at the top of the show, I was still bought into this farewell tour thing in January of 2001.
Sucker.
That's what I knew you were going to say. So, you know, and at the time, I was buying everything they were saying, hook, line, and sinker, I guess, you know? So, you know, it was an interesting time. And you know, I remember you had the, at least in my fandom, I had to get on KISS Online or KISS Asylum every day to see what was going on. And they were multiple posts every day. And like, oh, this is happening. Oh, this Richie Scarlett thing. Oh, Erickson at this expo in Japan. And it made you just feel part of it a little bit, that there was always something, no matter how small the news was, there was something going on. And it worked. It drove fans like me to that website every day. So it was definitely a strange but interesting time.
Yeah, Paul Stanley wasn't even 50 years old yet.
That's Paul wild. Stanley,
he's younger than I am now. My God. You know, but there was, and there's no way that we can equate what was happening then with what's happening now. You know, the news every day, just like Lonnie said, there was a reason to check out all these websites and to see three different ones with a lot of crossover, but also a lot of independent posts. You know, not everyone was covering the same thing. Now it's all aggregated into one bucket, you know, by a lot of sites. And there's no character, there's no reason for the separate ones to exist, really, for fans or consumers. You still want to stay valid on your own, but it's all just getting taken and represented by others, like AI. So it was still an exciting time. What happens next is kind of a bummer, because after Japan and Australia are done, that's basically it. And then 9/11 happens. And the world changes. And then 2002, we didn't know what was happening. In the background, we now know that Ace wasn't in great shape, as witnessed by Bronx Walk in, I think that was 2001. You know, and some of the appearances in 2002, where he eventually just stops, thank goodness, to deal with his issues. So it was a very weird time. We didn't know we were on the cusp of something. We thought we were at the end of KISS, and that was like a pretty deep thing to try and figure out. It's like, again, Paul Stanley's not even 50.
Yeah,
and they're talking about the end of KISS. What the hell? I mean, it doesn't make much sense to know that they then go on for another 22 years is ludicrous. Who didn't I get for your wrap-up thoughts?
Me.
Mark or Ken? Ken?
Oh, yeah. Daniel. Yeah. I think 1996, that kind of, I mean, there was news back then, but a lot less. That 96 reunion really piqued interest and everything. And that, then the news, there was a lot more interest and news being posted about KISS starting from then, from when they, you know, the first appearance on the Grammy Awards and all that stuff that happened back then. And then it just kept growing and growing. And then the, you know, it was more and more, and people listened or watched Kiss, you know, there was interest there. But with the end of the farewell tour, I thought it was the end too. I didn't know, but I wasn't surprised they came back because they've always pulled some things where they said they were going to do this or that, or never get back together. Never, there is never going to be a reunion, and that happened. So
it was farewell to Ace and Peter. Could, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. Then he turned into actually, it's a farewell to Ace and Peter, but we didn't sell it that way. So you know, I think you know, even you think about bands like The Who, how many times they've retired?
Six times, was it? Or
it's some crazy. You know, they're like the first one I think that did that. I want to say they were the first one that, like,
yeah,
the band retired.
Started that trend.
Yeah, this started a trend, and Kiss is finishing it right now. But no, other bands are still doing it, even, you know, Motley Crue and whatever. Yeah. But anyway, it was an interesting time, 2001. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. And though I think there's a lot of news probably other months, other years that we can probably go back and revisit. That should be interesting.
Yep, indeed. I get everyone?
Yes, well, but can I just say one thing really quickly?
Quickly.
Excuse me, and I'll make this very quick. It's not really Kiss related, but I think it's important. Rush is putting out a new box set for Grace Under Pressure that's coming out. And I just want to make note, Kiss people who are making the box sets, please take a look and realize that people like me who don't want to drop huge money but will for this one is because guess what? They're putting out a Blu-ray version of the full concert from Maple Leaf Gardens that I actually went to on Blu-ray. There was a version of it that was out that's edited, but this is the complete full concert, top to bottom, plus Terry Brown remixed the record, everything. That's worth spending huge money on, and I will be spending it on that. So,
oh, shoot. No, I might have to get it.
Yeah, but you got to run into the same thing with Destroyer Resurrected with Terry Brown remixing an album he didn't produce.
But Terry Brown is Rush's sound, like from back in the day. It's gonna sound.
He's the preferred.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I can't wait. We'll have to talk about your whether it's a Resurrected experience for that album, because it is such a signature album in their catalog. One of my favorites, actually. All right, that's it. 2001, a great year for music. Albums like Just Push Play from Aerosmith, and of course Megadeth's The World's Needs a Hero. New Megadeth came out yesterday, I believe.
That's right, yesterday.
Yeah. It's actually really good, other than the atrocious cover of Ride the Lightning, which just seems pointless to me. But there we are. All right, that's it for this week. I want to take the opportunity to thank you for joining us live or catching the show wherever you've caught it. But for now, from Lonnie, Daniel, Mark, Ken, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.